And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you today. Folks, I have got some very, very important topics to talk about and some things I hope that you will think about even after you've heard this podcast. First, I want to say that as this podcast airs, we are less than 1 week away from the Stand Awards dinner. I want to thank you all for your full participation. I think at this point that we're out of tickets, but if you decide at the last minute, boy, I sure would like to squeeze into that. Let me see if they've got any more. Call us, 757-375-6444. I'm talking about complimentary tickets at the AFR table, because AFR is the sponsor of the event. Just call us at 757-375-6444, or you can email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net. I want to thank you all for who have responded and are going to be there. It's going to be a wonderful event, I assure you. We are going to actually hear from Erica Kirk. She is not able to be there personally, but she is going to have a recorded message for us there. And I am really excited about that because, of course, we're giving a posthumous award to Charlie Kirk. And so Turning Point representatives will be there alive and in person, and Erica Kirk will be coming to us by video. Well, look, there are so many things happening right now that, you know, one hardly knows where to begin. And, you know, when I talk to friends about what is going on in our country, and we have these kinds of discussions, and I'm sure you've probably had them too, you think, just when you think they've gotten as crazy as they can get, they get crazier. And I'm talking about the left. I mean, they get crazier. And folks, I am more convinced now than I've ever been that we are in fact dealing with a demonic cult, not just the Democrat Party, as some prefer to call it, but the whole apparatus, the whole left-wing apparatus. It is one big cult. I think the cult leaders know that they're lying. You know, the people with influence, the people with money, the people with the power, they know that they're lying. But I think a lot of rank and file people are completely deceived. And I'll tell you, I think that these people who are trying to assassinate the president or kill members of his cabinet or threaten people like me and others, I really think these people are completely deluded. I think they are true believers. Now, they're believing a big, bodacious lie, but I think they really believe the lie. I think they really believe that you and I and others like us, President Trump, maybe not exactly like us, but nevertheless, President Trump, I would argue, is the greatest champion for Christianity of any president in my lifetime. And I would include George Bush, and I would include Ronald Reagan, because the president not only talks that approach and is an advocate, but he's much more explicit, and he's much more direct, and is willing to put policy behind his actions. He's willing to, at the very least, if he can't get legislation, he'll issue executive orders, but he's really willing to make his pro-Christian approach known and understood by all. So there's more than just something he says in a speech. So, I mean, I think in that sense, he outranks George Bush II, that is, in his first term, who, of course, ran as the evangelical president who got saved and all that and got delivered from drinking. And even Ronald Reagan, who was clearly pro-Christian. But I just think this president has gone far beyond that. But the level of hatred against him that is being spewed by people is caught up by these people like these would-be assassins who actually come to believe this stuff, that he's Hitler, that he's a dictator. Nothing in the world, nothing in reality buttresses that or in any way confirms or proves those accusations, but they believe it. But one of the definitions I've given of a cult is, a cult is a group of people who are divorced from reality, but they believe it, and they think that the people who don't believe as they do are the ones who are truly divorced from reality. They're willing to separate from friends, from family, from others, because other people don't accept the reality that they think they see so clearly. And so I suppose in that sense, since they are divorced from reality, we should not be surprised that they keep coming up with more and more unreal things, policies, approaches, statements, to just absolutely shock you. Think, what in the world? What? Really? So let's deal first. And I was on with sub-hosting for Abraham Hamilton III this week, and you may have heard me refer to some of this there, but let me try to take what I hope gives you a little bit even deeper understanding of what is going on based upon some examples that I want to share with you today. So let's start with the first one. Let's start with James Comey, who has now been indicted for making a threat against the president. Now, he found this thing on the beach. You know, he claims, you know, beautiful beach formation, and posts that, you know, like some sort of innocent dupe, 8647. Now, why would you think that that was worth posting? Because here's what he says. I had no intention, awareness of any kind that this was some kind of subliminal, implied, or explicit threat to the President of the United States. Now, what he's saying is, I just considered it to be an interesting shell formation on the beach. Now, folks, I was born during the day, but I wasn't born yesterday. Does any rational human being believe that? I mean, you are the former head of the FBI. You are presumably a person who is not unaware of crime, criminals, their vocabulary, how they operate. Now, surely, and he's not a criminal. I mean, at least he might end up being convicted as one, but we'll get to that in a second. I'm not a criminal. He has not been somebody whose life has been dedicated to committing crimes, as far as we know. But even I, who am not a criminal, have never committed a crime, unless you consider speeding a crime. You know, I've occasionally gone beyond the speed limit, but I don't think most of us would consider that a crime, and most of us would consider those of us who can drive just a tad fast on occasion to be criminals. But robbing, assaulting, murdering, In other words, hurting people and being a part of the culture of those folks who do that is not something that I've lived. I dare say it's probably not something that he's lived. By the way, when I practiced law, one of my associates that I practiced very closely with had a criminal practice, and he and I used to joke all the time about, you know, when you do criminal law, all of your friends tend to be criminals, or at least the people you associate most with, because you get to know them all. And he would have them fixing his house and, excuse me, fixing his car. And I say, Jeff, you've got some, I won't give his full name, but Jeff, you've got some unsavory people hanging around you, buddy. And he would just laugh. You know? Well, I didn't practice criminal law. I did do some criminal law because when you have a general practice, some of your clients who maybe have a relative or even the client, him or herself, get into trouble, and they know you, they trust you, they come to you, and they want you to represent them. So I did some criminal practice, but that wasn't the core of my practice. You know, the core of my practice was civil stuff. But at any rate, leaving that aside, my point is, even I know what 86 means. It means to get rid of. It means to kill. It means to dispose of. And when you use it to refer to a human being, yeah, after 86 him, that can mean you have to kill that person. And when you couple that with 47, which President Trump is now the 47th president of the United States, 86-47, clearly you are talking about getting rid of President Trump. And for you a former head of the FBI to act like me? I just saw an interesting shell formation on the beach. That strains credulity to the point of calling the rest of us utter fools. But this is how these people work. They will tell you a bold-faced lie and then criticize you because you're too stupid to believe it from their perspective. Now look, whether this constitutes a threat to the President of the United States is a matter that I'll leave to the courts, but I will say this. In the context in which we are operating, where you know that there are people who have decided, and there are probably many, many more out there, folks, and that's the sad reality of this. There are probably many, many more out there who have made up in their minds that they are going to kill the president. When you juxtapose Comey's claim naivete with an atmosphere in which we all know that President Trump's life is in constant danger, you just got to go, what? Not only do these people have no brain, do they have no heart? I mean, see, here again, I would have respected Comey a lot more, and I don't have any respect for Comey, by the way. I think Comey is an incompetent, and frankly, I think Comey is a confused man. Remember, I told you, Comey's another one, just like John Brennan. Comey used to be a communist. Now, that's not tinfoil conspiracy stuff. That's a fact. He has himself admitted that. He told that to an interviewer. You can probably still find it on the net if they haven't scrubbed it. But he told that to an interviewer during a New York Magazine interview that's where he started. He started as a communist, he said, and I think he then said, I became a Democrat, and I'm not sure what I am now, he said, but I probably lean more Republican now. I think he was lying about all that. I think the man's still a communist, frankly. Just like John Brennan. John Brennan started out as a communist. I believe the man is still a communist. Because I think one of the key factors in communism is the willingness to lie, to hide, to deceive in order to advance the cause. Now, I don't think I believe that they're members of the Communist Party or anything like that, but I believe that in their heart of hearts, in their true convictions, they believe that a communist system is better than ours. And that at the very least, we ought to be working toward that. Don't wait to hear Comey say anything against Mamdani or any of these other socialists or Marxists that run for office, because I think they fundamentally share their worldview. But nevertheless, I would have had more respect for how he handled this if he had said, you know, folks, I'll be very honest. I knew what it meant, but I just thought it was kind of funny to find that on the beach. And I took a picture of it and posted it. I regret that. I wish I hadn't. Because I realize now how a lot of people are taking it, and I wouldn't want to be a part of encouraging anybody to try to harm the president. So I'm really sorry. If he had said that, I could have, okay, all right, well, I mean, Lord knows, we've all been known to do things and look and say, oh man, you know what? What in the world? Why did I do that? Now, in hindsight, I realize that wasn't very smart. And if he just said that, I'd have thought, well, you know, I think the guy's being honest at least. But on all this, me? Huh? Who? Me? What? 86? 47? I just thought I found an interesting shell formation on the beach of me. You know, not only do I have no respect, I'm insulted that he thinks. But see, all these leftists are the same way. They believe the American people are stupid. They really do. I mean, this stuff of deplorables and the flyovers and the, you know, whatever names they've given. They mean that stuff, folks. They mean it. They think that they are superior to the rest of us and that the only thing the rest of us need to do is to shut up, listen to them, and do what they tell us. Don't think, don't critique, don't try to make your own decisions or have your own thoughts. Just listen to them and do what they say, and the world will be a utopia. And again, if you want any further proof of that, again, look at how they behaved during COVID. If you dare not to wear a mask, if you dare to go to church, if you dare, I'd say the governor of Virginia declared a curfew from 12 midnight to 5 a.m. I said, well, I guess he thinks that COVID is out looking for people during those hours. And if you stay in, COVID won't find you. I mean, no, you know what it's about? Do what I tell you to do. Don't think. This the former governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, was even heard to say, you don't need to go to church to pray. Now, here's about as godless a man as you ever want to find. This is the man who thought if a baby is born alive, then you can decide whether you kill it or not. If it was intended to be abortion, you can then make the decision. You know, flip a coin. Heads, you kill it. Tails, you let it. And this man was to lecture me and Christians on what we need to do to pray and how we need to pray. I don't need the devil to tell me how to pray or when to pray or where to pray. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the matter of some, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible tells us, make sure you gather together. It is essential. The closer you are to the end, the more important it is. And here's a guy, Governor nothing telling us, oh, you don't need to go to church. You don't need that. But this is what I mean. This is the way they think. Just do what we tell you to do, and it all will be fine, because we are the superior ones. We are the enlightened ones. And you podunks just don't have any, you don't have the sense to even be able to question us. So that's the mindset. So here's the next one. Jimmy Kimmel, and I covered this on earlier on a program. I don't know whether you were listening to me on the Hamilton Corner. I subbed earlier this week. But Jimmy Kimmel says after this joke, he did some kind of skit where he pretended to be at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He was not there, and he certainly was not on stage, but he acted like he was on stage, and they showed pictures of the faces of those who did attend, probably from some B-roll that they had, but they showed a picture of Melania, they showed a picture of President Trump, they showed a picture, and so forth, of the First Lady and President Trump, so forth. And he made this joke. He said, Melania, you have all the glow of an expectant widow. Now, of course, 2 days after he said that, there was another attempt on the president's life. Jimmy Kimmel comes on and justifies that by saying, this sounds just like Comey, these people, it's like they're all drinking the same Kool-Aid. There's no question about that. He says, that wasn't a joke about the president being killed by an assassin. He says that was a joke about the difference in their age, because the president is almost 80 and she's younger than I am. He said, and I was just joking about their age difference. He says, and they know that. And what I want to say is, no, Jimmy, we don't know that. And frankly, again, we're insulted that you think we would buy that. Because, look, folks, context matters. If this president had never had any attempts on his life and his presidency was proceeding normally, now all presidents have people making statements about wanting to kill them. All presidents attract threats. I don't think there's any exception to that. But no president has had now 3 attempts on his life. Butler, Mar-a-Lago, and now this latest one at the White House Correspondents' Dinner at the Washington Hilton Hotel. Now, but before this one at the Washington Hilton Hotel, not only did you have 2 attempts on the president's life, but he was actually shot. Now, I don't hear the mainstream media reminding us of this as if this didn't happen. No, it's not simply that the president had a plot against his life. It's not simply that someone fired a shot trying to hurt him. The man was actually shot. Now, thank God, and only by the grace of God, was that bullet not 2 inches, I believe it would have been, to the right, because it probably would have hit him in the face and gone through his brain, and we would now be talking about the late President Donald J. Trump. I mean, it was just that close. Now, how do you tell us, how do you even form your lips to say that a joke about Melania becoming a widow is not a joke about assassination, when you know that the president of the United States has not only had 2 attempts on his life at that point, but one that was so close that he was actually shot in the ear? Now, again, you have to ask two questions. And I've seen the video. You've probably seen it too. And I played it on Hamilton Corner, on Hamilton Corner. And he actually seems to be sincere when he says this. And so it raises two questions. Again, are you actually that stupid? Now, I think an argument could be made that he really is that stupid. I mean, I don't think anybody's concerned about Jimmy Kimmel scoring at the genius or near genius level of IQ. So, you may actually be that stupid. And if you add to the fact that the man is probably not very bright anyway, you add to the fact that he is so blinded by ideology that he is incapable of following facts and logic, because the only thing he can see is this ideological smokescreen that is in front of him. And it blinds him to truth. It blinds him to reality. Like I said, the cult denies reality. And the people in the cult say to everybody else, oh, you don't see this? You don't really, that's too bad. You're unenlightened. Because when he adds to that bogus, weak explanation, they know that. They know that. I mean, why would we know that given the fact that the president has already been shot in an assassination attempt? I guess, again, are you that stupid? Or are you so ideologically brainwashed that you actually believe those stupid words? Which, you know, to me, that makes you even more dangerous. I mean, dangerous like somebody needs to do any harm to him, because you all know I'm not getting it. But when you said something like that and you actually want people to believe that it was perfectly appropriate and perfectly innocent and a funny joke, and he tells that to his audience, and his audience laughs when he says it. I wonder how many of them were laughing, because they think, well, he really is stupid if he thinks we believe that. He really is a clown. Or some of them may have been laughing, thinking, yeah, that's right, of course, we know that was only a joke about their age difference. You know, again, folks, how much deeper into darkness can these people get? So one of the reasons why I am convinced that we ultimately will win against this stuff is that this darkness, to me, implodes on itself, because it is inherently self-destructive. I mean, you inherently reap what you sow. You can't sow darkness and death and destruction and hatred and bitterness and lies. You can't keep sowing that stuff and not have it ultimately explode in your face and blow you to bits. And I'm speaking metaphorically here, of course. But as a spiritual matter, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life. Now, that's simply the way it is. Now, once again, those of you listening to me will understand this. But, you know, people on the left, they hear that and they say, Bishop E.W. Jackson came on and he threatened the people who don't like President Trump. Because again, they have no spiritual understanding at all. None. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. I want to find that text here real quickly, because that is a text worth not just reading, but, I mean, not just speaking off the cuff, but reading, because this is exactly where we are right now. This is exactly where we are. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah, I was thinking chapter 1, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse, let me see, where do I want to read this from? In fact, let me start at verse 13. It says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." See, I'm speaking spiritually. So when I say the whole thing, I said, explode in their face and blow them to bits. And people, oh, he's being violent. No, I'm being spiritual. I'm using that as a spiritual metaphor. But, you know, you'll have fools who'll take that and say, Bishop E.W. Jackson said that Jimmy Kimmel and others ought to be blown to bits. I mean, but no, what I'm doing is speaking words, not which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then it goes on to say, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. So I wanted to get that out there. There's one more that I want to share with you. And of these, this is probably the most important. Donna Brazile and a bunch of others have gone crazy over this decision by the Supreme Court over the Louisiana redistricting plan, which created, I think, a couple of majority-minority districts, and they struck they struck one down, and essentially have said now that it is not lawful, constitutionally permissible, for states to use race in determining districts. Now, folks, I'll tell you, this has just blown the lid off of some of these leftists. They have just gone crazy. And Donna Brazile went through a diatribe, I think it was on CNN, where she said that, was it CNN? No, ABC. She said, in fact, I'll quote a little bit of it. She said, "It's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of black citizens who believed after 1965 that they could get a seat at the table, that they could have fair representation. It's a betrayal of the Constitution. I believe this notion that you can have partisan gerrymandering, but not racial gerrymandering." You know, folks, forgive me. I can't help but laugh, because once again, are you really that stupid? That you can have partisan gerrymandering, but you can have racial gerrymandering. Well, the whole point of gerrymandering, redistricting is a political process. And of course, it's going to be partisan. We have tried, and here in Virginia, we thought we were getting rid of the partisan gerrymandering by creating a neutral commission that would be responsible for drawing districts, as opposed to the very partisan process that redistricting has become. It is inherently a political process, because there is competition between the two parties to draw the districts that they think will be most favorable to them. There's nothing unconstitutional about that. But since the Constitution prohibits denying any person of their fundamental rights based upon race or religion or national origin or gender or sex, which is whether they're male or female, that is unconstitutional. Drawing districts based upon one's partisan perspective is a part of the process of political competition. Those are two entirely different things. If you want to Google that and find it, the woman's in hysterics. I mean, she's in hysterics. She's out of her mind. Like, this is the equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan saying, we're taking over now. Once again, I'm telling you, in fact, if I think I may have said this before, if you have caught me talking about this on any of the various outlets that I've been expressing myself on this since that decision came down, this is one of the best things that could ever happen to this country, because in my opinion, and I know I'm right about this, it was a mistake from the beginning to operate on the false assumption that black people could only be represented by another black person. Because that's really what racial gerrymandering posits. That's the premise of it. But what is so ironic about that is, I mean, this woman who's basically like she's about to, I don't know, she, again, about to implode, she could represent me. Donna Brazile happens to have brown skin. I don't use the phrase, but she looks like me. I don't even understand that. I really don't. And we need to dispense with that. Because you look like me if you're a human being. You got two eyes, you got two ears, you got a nose, you got a mouth, you walk on two legs, you have a brain, you look like me. Stuff, no, you look like me, only, let me not get sidetracked on that, down that rabbit hole, because it's just one of those things that just irritates me, frankly. It really does. Because, let me just jump down the rabbit hole here for just a second. Because here's the horrible effect of that. Let's just say that you've got a child. Let's just say that child happens to be a little Hispanic girl. And we saw this during Artemis, the flight around the backside of the moon. And one of these idiot reporters said, "When do you think there's going to be a time when there will be an Hispanic that becomes an astronaut that does some of these things?" Now, we probably have Hispanic astronauts now. They didn't even answer him. Thank God. I thought, you know, smart on their part. Because you can't just go pluck somebody up and say, "Hey, we need a Hispanic astronaut. Would you like to go out into outer space?" These people have to be highly gifted, highly intelligent, highly disciplined, and highly courageous. These are exceptional people. I'm telling you, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. Now, not to pat myself on the back, I might have the smarts to do it, maybe. But I'll tell you what, I am not interested in getting into a little box and having somebody shoot me out into outer space. No, thank you. I'll skip that. No, thank you. Not for me. I mean, these guys who go to the space station and end up getting stuck, going to the space station for like one crew for 8 days and end up on a space station for a year. No, thank you. No. This is a very special group of people. You can't just go pluck somebody up and make that person an astronaut. It's got to be somebody who's got the spite, who's got the smarts, has the vision, has the desire, has the courage. That's going to be an exceptional person, no matter what demographic or quote-unquote racial group or whatever that means you call them from or you find them in. And I think that has to be an organic process of people bubbling up from whatever their circumstances in life, finding themselves to be academically gifted, scientifically gifted, adventurous, whatever, all those qualities mixed in that and pursuing this kind of stuff, maybe joining the Air Force, flying jets or whatever, and saying, I want to be an astronaut. And somebody looking at that person said, wow, this is an exceptional individual. His name happens to be Hernandez, but you know, who cares? But no. See, that's not the way the left thinks. No. You got to go find and recruit somebody. And DEI doesn't work, folks, when you're being slung out into space at 25,000 miles an hour with a bunch of people who better know their stuff and better be capable of withstanding all of the physical and emotional challenges that come with that. At any rate, coming back to my point here, the notion that only a black person can represent another black person is racist, is preposterous, because if you're gonna follow that logic, then that means that every district that has a majority of Americans of European ancestry ought to only be represented by an American of European ancestry, a.k.a. a white American, a Caucasian American, however people choose to express it. I like Americans first of and then whatever ancestry that person comes from. Well, you know, if you said that, people say, well, that's racist. You can't do that because it's OK to believe. It's OK to believe that an American of African ancestry or an American of Hispanic ancestry could represent a bunch of Americans, the majority of whom are of European ancestry. That is okay. And that's happened, by the way, on numerous occasions. Alan West, it happened for, who's the young man now in Congress who's running for governor of Florida. It'll come to me. But their districts are majority Americans of European ancestry. Well, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to represent them. They should be put in a black district somewhere where the majority of Americans are of African ancestry, because those are the only people they can represent. Well, you see how preposterous that sounds and how racist that sounds. We ought to gather all the Asians together and make sure that only an Asian can represent them, and gather all the people of Indian ancestry, Indian ancestry, and make sure that they can only be represented by that's not America. Let me bring up one other thing, folks, that I don't think I've ever said this publicly. If I have, I don't recall. That means you probably never heard me say it publicly. But it needs to be said, and this issue needs to be raised. What is the statute of limitations on trying constantly to frame everything in the slavery and Jim Crow past of our country? When does the statute of limitations run out? When is that over? Well, you know what? If you leave it to the left and you leave it to the Democrat Party, you know when it's over? Never. Never. If Jesus tarries, 100 years from now, they'll still be singing that same old song. And that's what Donald Brazil said. This is, they're taking us back to Jim Crow. Well, no, if you recall, during the Jim Crow era, the Ku Klux Klan and a lot of lawless people had determined they weren't going to run the risk of having black people, then Republicans, take over their counties, their cities, and they were going to stop them from voting by whatever means necessary, including violence and lynching. Now, I don't see anything in a decision that you can't have a majority, you can't design a majority minority district trying to make sure that only a person of African ancestry can represent that district, because the majority of people in that district are of African ancestry, or the majority of Americans in that district are of African ancestry. You can't design that district racially. That doesn't mean anybody can't vote. All those people can still vote. See, I think this forces people to think about what a candidate stands for as opposed to what is the color of the candidate's skin. And I'll tell you, I guess to some of these people, I'm crazy to think that what you stand for is more important than what your skin color is. But they know that because they hate people like me, because I don't think the way I'm supposed to think based upon the complexion of my skin. So some of them would never accept me as a representative of black people because I don't meet the criteria. As Joe Biden famously said, and this is the true Jim Crow mindset. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black, says Joe Biden, because he's an expert, right, on what it means to be black. So as I said a little earlier, just shut up and listen and do what we tell you to do. And for the life of me, it is nothing but a tribute to the deceptive power of Satan that people accept that kind of dehumanizing and denigration and humiliation as to be treated that way and talked about that way and still go along with the people who treat them that way and talk about them that way. I mean, that is nothing but a tribute to the lying power of Satan, who Jesus said is a liar and the father of lies. Said when he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it. And yet people continue to go along with this stuff. Let me get back to my premise, my question. Think about this. How much longer will it be before there is no one alive who experienced Jim Crow segregation? How long will it be? Not long. Maybe 20 years. Maybe 25 years. And there won't be a single person alive who knows what that was like. Now, people of my generation, I was born north of the Mason-Dixon line, so I never experienced it. But at the time I was born in 1952, it was going on, and it was continued to go on until I was a teenager, but I never experienced it. But there are a lot of people my age who did, right? In order to have a memory of it, you would have had to have been born pretty much in the 50s, maybe very early 60s. So if you're born after, in the South, born after 1960, even if the Jim Crow era was still alive, you wouldn't have much of a memory of it because it ended shortly thereafter. You might not have any memory of it. So that means if you are 64 years old, 65 years old, somewhere say between 62 and 65, you probably don't have any memory of it whatsoever. Well, if you are are 55, 50, it didn't exist when you were born. So what does that mean? That means in 25 years, since it ended in about 1965, let's call that. Now, that doesn't mean it was functionally over at that point, but for all practical purposes, legal segregation was over at that point in 1965. So nobody born in 1965 experienced it. And people born in 1965 are now what? 60 years old. So, you know, those people could live another 40 years maybe, some of them, but very few, obviously. Most will live another 25 years maybe, to their 85. So let's call it 25 years. 25 years from now, there will barely be anybody left, if anybody's left, who actually has a memory of having lived in that era. Are we still going to be constantly talking about this? You're taking us back to Jim Crow. I hope not. I hope not. You know, the country's over it. It's long since passed. Instead of just leaving the past in the past, these people are just constantly conjuring this stuff up. Remember the voting rights reform? Voter ID, and when they passed that in Georgia, that was considered Jim Crow 2.0. But even Donna Brazile admits, and more people voted. Well, how can it be Jim Crow 2.0 when Jim Crow was intended to stop people from voting? How can it be Jim Crow when more people vote? But again, folks, if you're looking for logic, if you're looking for facts, forget it. You won't find them. Look, before I go, let me just say to you, I'm starting something called the Truth Tour, Untold Facts About American History. In other words, things that our children weren't taught, probably that we were not taught, because many of us, whether we knew it or not, were taught American history through Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, which was not intended to be a true history of the country. It was intended to be a polemic against America by a man who was a communist. Howard Zinn, who wrote this very, very famous book that was widely used in our school system and is still widely used in our school system, was a communist who hated America. And he wrote a book intended to persuade others to hate America. And that book was used in most of our school systems across this country. Even when they weren't naming it, they were still using it. So the Truth Tour is intended to essentially debunk the lying history about our country. Are we perfect? No. Have we been? No. But we are the greatest nation in the history of mankind in our record of raising the standard of living for the average person and allowing for human flourishing across all racial, cultural, demographic lines, to allow people to fulfill their God-given potential and go to the highest place that potential will take them. There's simply not a better place on earth for that. And for those of us like me, whose ancestors went through slavery, I probably went through Jim Crow. My great-grandfather was born in on July 4th, 1874. His father and mother had both been slaves in Virginia, Orange County, Virginia, to be exact. They went through things I'd never experienced. But in laying the groundwork that God laid through the founding fathers, they set up a nation that would allow people like me, the descendants of those people who were denied their full human rights, to completely fulfill mine in every way. And in most places on earth, you still can't do that. But we can here in the United States of America. And instead of celebrating America's victory over the sinful impulse of mankind to oppress people, instead of celebrating that victory over the sinful tendency of people to use government to oppress, instead of celebrating that victory, we got a bunch of people who are trying to drag us right back into that mindset as if that's the life we're living today. And in fact, those are the people who would use government to oppress us and to censor us and to tell us to sit down, shut up, and just do what they tell you to do. These people, the lying people who I've just named, that and the movement, the cult they represent, That's what they would say to us. You know, you're not smart enough to know what to do. We will tell you what to do. We will tell you what to think. And we will tell you how far you can go. Well, that's going to do it. I've got to go. God bless each and every one of you. If you still want to come to our dinner and take advantage of those tickets available through American Family Radio sponsorship, email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net, or call us at 757-375-6444. In the meantime, you know what. Oh, and if you want to bring me to your church, your organization, your company for that matter, because I am doing this at companies, or your school, your university, to speak to your group, your crowd, your Christian group, your Republican group, your Democrat group for that matter, get in touch with us. Again, same number, different email address, but same telephone number. You can email us at truthtour@standinc.net. In the meantime, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless you.